This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
Talking about my coach.
He lost to Georgia State. What do you expect?
A chance for improvement. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. In this situation, Jeremy Pruitt is just a 40-something-year-old bald baby. And the bathwater would be the Georgia State game.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
Do babies even need baths? They don't work. They won't get jobs. Really, when you think about it, babies are a lot like the homeless. Just drinking milk and not getting jobs.
On 1340 WKGN.
We have grown here today on Talk Sports. Only 45 minutes in, just because I said Pruitt's a big baby, a big bald baby, that you guys wanted to throw out with the bathwater and fire him. And said he was a moron that couldn't coach.
I wanted to put him in the microwave after Georgia State.
Hour two kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour two headlines. Cam, what do you got for us?
All right. I don't know if y'all saw last night, but UCLA basically dominated Arizona in that game.
Yeah, right after I was saying that 15-1 odds isn't bad. You probably could have waited. They're probably down a little bit now.
Yeah, probably a little bit, I would guess, because, yeah, they did not look too great. They started the game well, but then that quickly fizzled out, and UCLA kind of just ran away with that game. I think the closest Arizona really got in the second half was about 8 or 6, somewhere in there. But they never really threatened legitly, and UCLA kind of just ran away with that one in, you know, that big Pac-12 battle they had going over there.
Is UCLA legit? Are they tier one, tier two in terms of contenders, tier three?
I think they'll be up there with contenders as far as just, like, they have the experience. I'd say they got experienced guards. I think
they'll need Drew Zane to go crazy again.
Yeah.
I mean, he has been. Though he's been averaging, I think, what, 18 a game this year?
Yeah, but he needs to be like a 25 points a game score in the tournament, or at least like a 20-point a game score.
I don't know.
Let's go up a level, I think.
I don't believe in UCLA.
Okay.
But I probably should. I mean, they were a team that went to the Final Four last year. They did bring back that team. They are winning pretty much every time they play. You know, I think people forgot about them for a little while just because they basically went a month without playing this season. But they came back out of it and continue to win games. And that win over Arizona last night, very impressive.
Yeah, that was a big one. Big one for sure.
Antonio Brown was on HBO's Real Sports last night with Bryant Gumbel, where he talked about how the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offered him $200,000 to go to the crazy house so they could try to look – like it was mental health that had caused the dust-up with the Buccaneers and not Bruce Arians' treatment of him.
Uh-oh.
They wanted to make me look, quote, not reliable to do a good job on the field.
He has one of my favorite quotes. The, I don't have mental health issues. I have a high IQ.
Okay. I mean, that's, you know, people always say the first step to getting
wealth.
People are saying the first step to fixing any problems is admitting you have a problem, and Antonio Brown insists he doesn't have a problem, and he says he wants people to know that I was treated unfairly. I was pushed to play while hurt, and in the midst of that, by not being able to play hurt, I was told to get the hell out of here and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
They are weaponizing mental health. Everything people want to talk, or everything people want to think about Antonio Brown to cover up a really simple case, which is a player who gave his all, gave his physical well-being for a team, and got cut when he said, this is my limit and I can't go no further, said Antonio Brown's lawyer. Gumbel asked directly if Brown felt like he needed help with any mental health issues, To which he replied, I have mental wealth. Like Charlie said, I have mental wealth. And okay, you know.
Arians got to retire too. Come on, Arians. Arians, Brady, Sean Payton, trifecta. Come on, let's do it.
If you are Bruce Arians, I mean, you already had like the heart concerns, right? Like in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why he stepped down from Arizona. He already had like some health concerns. Like, do you want to go through this again? Like, you want a championship? When's enough enough?
Yeah, come on. Just go ahead and head home.
Bucks might have some problems.
Take your Brady and head home.
I mean, you don't know the status of Brady or Gronk. You have a lot to...
Well, I know the status of Gronk. Gronk's in trouble. Like, he just can't move around anymore. Yeah. Like, he looks pretty washed on the field, in my opinion.
And if Brady retires, he's going to retire again, too, I would say, almost, like,
100%. I thought Gronk's
quite a pretty decent year. I just didn't think he looked any... Like, he couldn't go to the next level when they had to. Like, whenever in the playoff game when they needed him to be that guy, like, four catches for 85 yards, I mean, he had the one long one. But outside of that, it was just kind of just, you know, 10 yards a pop. I don't know. It just didn't seem like the same Gronk. He did have good games at the end of the year when they were trying to hit his incentives, but.
But yeah, I mean, they don't know the status of those two Bruce Arians getting critiqued for, you know, slapping that player, the incidences with Antonio Brown and the drama surrounding that. You know, they have to figure out a lot with their roster. Levante David said after the year they were dealing with a lot of turmoil inside that locker room this season. I feel like the Buccaneers could blow back up and go back to mediocrity next year.
Perhaps. Cam, any other headlines?
Yeah. Urban Meyer, since we were talking about the Jaguars, says the Jags job was the worst experience I've had in my professional lifetime. He jumped on an interview with Dan Dykin. I don't know how to say this guy's last name. Don't At Me with Dan Dykin. Dykin, D-A-K-I-C-H.
Dan Dockich.
Dockich, yeah, okay, that's it. There we go. Thank you. He basically went on an interview with him and was kind of just talking about the difference between college and NFL. He basically, his biggest kind of concerns or, you know, differences he noticed was just how much less time you get individually with players, how many fewer times you get to practice certain plays and stuff before you actually implement it in a game. Which I feel like is kind of the coach's decision, but whatever. He basically talked about how you'd only get to do something a few times in practice when you're trying to throw it into a game same week. He was like, in college, you had way more reps of things before you implemented them. He talked about it just being a lot more roster management. But, yeah, he basically said it was the worst experience I've had in my professional lifetime. He said, what really got to me... was like, he's talking about the losing. He said, what really got me, I almost don't want to say people accept it. I mean, you lose a game and you just keep. He said, I would seriously have self-talk. I went through the whole depression thing too, where I'd stare at the ceiling and think, are we doing everything possible? Because I really believed we had a roster that was good enough to win games. I just don't think we did a great job. He's like, it eats away at your soul. I tried to train myself to say, okay, it happened in the NFL. At one point, Jaguars lost 20 in a row. Think about that. 20 games where you're leaving the field where you lost. And we lost 5 in a row at one point. I remember I just couldn't function.
I wanted to die.
I was trying to rally myself up. I was in charge of the team, obviously. And then we won 2 out of 3, and I really felt like we were flipping the thing. But, yeah, he just talked about the losing streaks and struggling with dealing with losing. And
what did he think was going to happen when he went to the NFL?
I don't know. I guess he thought he'd just walk in and rock out 10, 11 wins as
usual.
Yeah,
I mean, like, is that what he thought? I mean, like, did he not watch any of the NFL? Like, he obviously knew they had a 20-game losing streak at one point, but...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Guess it's the ego and the confidence. You think you can walk in there and fix it? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. Oklahoma State officially announced Derek Mason as their new defensive coordinator.
Okay.
No real surprise there. In basketball, Tim Hardaway Jr. suffers a fracture in his left foot. That's a pretty big loss for the Mavericks. I would say he's at least their fourth best player at this point. Mm-hmm. Porzingis has been pretty. Jason Kidd deserves more love. Jason Kidd's probably not going to win Coach of the Year, but everyone thought that was going to be a disaster, and he's got those boys playing much better than they did last year.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much better all the role players look when Luka quit hogging the ball like he was James Harden, almost as if someone was screaming about that for the last couple of years. Like, maybe share the ball, and all of a sudden players look a little better.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Defense looks better. Jason Kidd's doing a good job. Now they're going to have to deal without Tim Hardaway Jr. for an extended period of time.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're looking pretty good. They may even get lucky and win a first round series in 7 games.
Well, I don't know. They're still the 5 seed. Right now they'd play Utah. Utah versus Dallas in the first round. I mean, I guess Utah's been in a pretty big slump themselves. 2-8 their last 10. So, yeah, maybe they could beat Utah. Maybe they could catch them and get home court advantage. I don't know.
Well, speaking of NBA, I don't know if you saw last night, but we had the second biggest blown lead in NBA history.
35 points.
35 points.
35 yes. points.
Yeah, at one point, the Washington Wizards were up on the shorthanded Clippers. That is without Kawhi and Paul George. I think they're also missing. They also were missing Marcus Morris, Reggie Jackson, Zubac, and Batum, and Ibaka all missed the second half. Bledsoe stopped playing in the third quarter. And yeah, the Wizards, who were up 66-33 at one point, ended up blowing that lead.
They gave up 25 points in the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, Luke Kennard scored 7 points in 9 seconds.
You know, Luke Kennard did something similar to the Hawks last year. I don't know if you remember that game. They had a 20-point comeback in that fourth quarter with him and Trey Mann. And Luke Kennard, I guess, is good for one of these a year.
Yeah.
That's why they gave him the money. He's earned his $80 million in 2 games over the last couple years. But pretty bad loss for the Wizards, who got beat on a 4-point play.
Yeah.
After having a 5-second violation. So they're up 6 with like 10 seconds left. Kennard subs in, hits a 3. They then can't get the ball inbounds, get a 5-second delay, 5-second penalty, turnover. Luke Kennard then hits a 4-point play to win. Then Kuzma throws the ball out of bounds. Game over.
That's incredible. That is incredible.
The ending was insane. Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
The Wizards are now down to the 10 seed. Only a game up on your Atlanta Hawks. Uh-oh. And it's
Amir Coffey snapped last night, too.
Yeah.
By the way, Amir Coffey, if you're ever playing 2K, one of my favorite players in that entire game to play with.
Amir Coffey. Okay, I'll jot that down to remember.
Two-way player, Amir Coffey, yes. Throw him on there. I don't know. I've never played with him on 2K.
He gets to the rim like nobody else.
Go back to headlines. We'll switch gears after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. College football Heisman odds. You seen the early look?
Oh.
Look, you seen the preseason odds?
I've already placed my bets, John.
You've already placed your bets?
I have.
Who'd you take?
I took Hendon Hooker.
Hendon Hooker at 60-1 odds.
I took KJ Jefferson.
Okay.
I took Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Okay.
KJ Jefferson 150-1. You took who was the next guy you sent?
Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Who is
Ohio State's wide receiver?
Okay.
That went
stupid. Oh, the
stupid
one that went crazy. Yeah, yeah. Wide receiver hasn't won it since Wyatt. I mean, like, Desmond Howard.
Devontae Smith.
Never mind. Like 2 years ago. But before then, was that?
Yeah, it was a lengthy period.
Yeah, Mando Fitzgerald finished second that 1 year. But, yeah, my bad.
I took Wisconsin's running back.
What kind of odds did you get on Ohio State's wide receiver?
I think I got, like, 24-1.
Oh, okay.
I look at Heisman futures, like trading stocks.
Sure.
So I don't ever plan on having a Heisman future alive by the time the Heisman rolls around. Like, I just...
What? You plan on losing before it happens?
No. I plan on cashing out.
Okay.
So every year, I just, on a week-to-week basis, I go and I look at who has good value and who I think will have a big game that weekend. And then I take, you know, put $20 on them to win the Heisman. They have a good weekend. I can cash out for 50.
Mm-hmm.
And then before the year, you know, who do I think is going to have a good first 3 weeks of the season and I can cash out? You know, I'm just constantly buying and cashing out.
Ooh, look at that. What running backs are on there?
The list I'm actually looking at right now, Cam, just has all quarterbacks in the SEC, or at least not all quarterbacks, I guess. Jack Miller. Who's Jack Miller from Florida?
He was Ohio State's quarterback.
Also,
got
it is a quarterback. Okay, that's what I thought. So him and Anthony Richardson both have 50-1 odds. So I guess they're saying whoever wins that job between him and Richardson have a 50-1 chance of winning the Heisman, which is better than Hendon Hooker. So yeah, these are all not all quarterbacks, I guess. Jahmyr Gibbs, the Georgia Tech transfer to Alabama, has 100-1 odds.
Okay.
Do you have the full list, Charlie, of Heisman odds?
Yeah, I'm looking at one on Action right now.
Okay. Yeah, start getting to the running backs and the players. I was just wanting to focus kind of on Hendon Hooker, but we'll give you a rundown.
Yeah, your Heisman favorite is Bryce Young. C.J. Stroud, right behind him. J.T. Daniels, Dylan Gabriel, Tyler Van Dyke.
Dylan Gabriel.
Are tied for third.
J.T. Daniels?
Yeah, J.T. Daniels is tied for third in Heisman odds.
He doesn't even have a team.
Yeah. he's tied with Dylan Gabriel and Tyler Van Dyke.
But he doesn't have a team.
Yes.
Ooh, I like Dylan Gabriel a little bit.
After that, you have D.J. Uiagalelei.
Okay, hold on
Caleb
a second.
Williams.
Has anyone watched DJ
Uiagalelei?
DJ, I'm not going to learn how to say your last name until you start playing better football. Has anyone watched him play football?
No, he's not very good.
What makes you think he can win a Heisman?
I don't.
Not you. I'm just saying in general, people. Like, have they been watching?
He's just a big name for a big team, I guess.
Are they going to run him back? Is he going to be the quarterback there this year?
I don't think they have another solid option.
Didn't they bring Hunter Johnson back? Didn't they bring the quarterback out? Didn't the quarterback transfer and leave and then actually like play a couple years somewhere else? And like, actually, I'm going to come back because it looks like I can actually play at Clemson now. Was it Hunter Johnson? Is that who it was?
Yeah.
That's funny, though.
Yeah, he was like, you know what? Actually, I'm coming back. I'm coming home. Coming home. Tell DJ I'm coming home. Transfer to Northwestern, then, yeah, turn around and came back.
But yeah, then I also have money on Braylon Allen, the Wisconsin running back. He's at 30-1.
Pretty good. Okay.
Will Anderson's at 30-1 too.
Are we buying the recent rumors that Caleb Williams could end up at Wisconsin? There's a lot of momentum there.
I didn't see that.
Caleb Williams to Wisconsin to finally give them a quarterback. They haven't had one since Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I would say that would be easily the most dynamic guy they've had since Wilson.
That would give them a chance to.
You would think so.
Make the playoffs.
Yeah, you would think so.
Especially, I buy it just because it was the connection with his dad's.
They hired somebody recently that has a close connection to him. Yes, it's like they're playing the game.
Like Paul Chris was the offensive coordinator or something. It was something like that. I don't remember exactly, but
okay, I hadn't heard that. Okay, yeah, that's intriguing. Huh.
I would like to see him. You know, I guess. USC is kind of the team that, you know, people have been thinking recently.
Especially once their, quarterback went to the portal, too.
Yeah, like, every quarterback they've had is, they don't really have anybody right now, which I guess.
JT Daniels headed back to USC.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Where is he going to go?
I don't know.
Do people want him to start, Are there Power 5 schools that look at JT Daniels and say, yeah, we want you to be our
starting quarterback? Well, I mean, yeah, he's the third highest Heisman odds.
That seems absurd to me.
Yeah, that isn't crazy. Where's Stetson at?
Where is Stetson at? I don't even see Stetson.
Stetson's never going to get the respect he deserves. Spencer Rattler are the second best odds in the SEC. 20-1 odds.
You have to have quite the year with the Gamecocks.
People are high on Spencer again all of a sudden.
Would they have to win the East for him to win the Heisman?
Yeah, right? Probably.
To win the Heisman? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, everyone except Tebow has been on, a really, really good team, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tebow went, 8-5 that one year and won the Heisman?
Yeah, I think so.
I want to say outside of that, you've pretty much had to be in the mix somewhat. I mean,
so I was thinking.
RG3, I don't know. What was their record?
I think they were a 10-3 team.
Right,
they
so maybe he was team. Another one that wasn't
but
great.
They were in the BCS conversation all the way up until 2 weeks before.
Yeah, I think they lost to a couple teams down the stretch.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Manziel, they were 10-2, I guess, his freshman year, right?
And
or is that right?
Alabama and stuff, I think.
Right, they lost their first two games to Florida and LSU and then went on a long win streak, right?
Mm-hmm.
Winston won the championship, Mariota. Went to the championship. They lost to Ohio State in the championship. Derrick Henry, I'm assuming that was one of the years Alabama was really, really good in 2015.
Most likely.
Lamar Jackson, I guess that Louisville team was probably, 10-2?
Yeah. They were good for Louisville, but yeah.
I know they had a chance to, if they had beaten Clemson that year, maybe they would have had a chance to win the championship. I don't know exactly what their record was, but they were a really, really good team. Baker took, them to the playoffs. Kyler. They go back to the playoffs with Kyler, too, right? Or no?
They were either one game shy or made it. I can't remember.
I don't think they did, actually.
Okay.
I think, because I don't remember seeing him in a playoff game off the top of my head.
I remember him in, like, the Big Ten champion or Big 12 championship that year.
Yeah. Maybe.
Joe Burrow, of course, national champion. Devonta Smith, national champion. Bryce Young in the championship. So, you know, just even going back, like I said, Tebow was on a bad team. Outside of that, it does seem like, you know.
Like, I don't think they could go, like, 8-4 and him just have crazy numbers and him win it. If they, you know, are, like, second or third in the East, I don't know.
This is going to sound really dumb, but Tebow only won one? I thought Tebow, did he not get two husbands? Did he only win one?
No, I think he was a runner-up for another one.
Because he had a chance to win the one, maybe 09 against Mark Ingram, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was kind of because, I think, didn't Ingram, like, win that SEC championship game?
Yeah, he beat the hell out of him in that SEC
championship. Yeah, I think that's kind of what, like, swung it, like, last minute, I want to say.
Okay. I thought Tebow won, too, but I guess he had the chance to be the second guy to win, too, or at least the first since Archie Griffin.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Hendon Hooker, 60-1.
I'm throwing in. Throwing
I love
some money
those
on
odds.
That.
Too high, too low.
Way too low. I mean, just statistically, he is set up to be on a team that wins 8-10 games and have a phenomenal statistical season.
They have him as the 6 best odds. We'll just say Florida counts as one because it's both quarterbacks. So Alabama's quarterback, Spencer Rattler, South Carolina's quarterback, Max Johnson, Texas A&M's quarterback, Will Anderson, of course, the pass rusher from Alabama, and then the Florida quarterback. Those are the only guys in the SEC with better odds. You think that's too low?
I think he has the third best chance in the SEC to win the Heisman.
I think that
fits the national narrative.
Behind Bryce Young and Will Anderson, I don't think there's another player in the SEC that has a better chance to win the Heisman than Hendon Hooker.
It does seem like he should have better
Rattler
odds.
I think Rattler should be
That's why you go by now, wait till week 4 when you're 3-0 and he has, you know, 11 touchdowns to one interception and 1,200 yards.
That's literally the thing. Is like, in this system, he's going to put up the numbers. He's going to put up big numbers. He's going to be efficient with it. If you get one, like, upset, he'll have a shot, you would think, honestly. If you're that decent and you get an upset.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we project big numbers for Hooker again next year?
Yeah, I just think this kind of system, it breeds it, you know, naturally a little bit. And obviously, he's kind of shown he can do it.
Is there any concern right now when we look ahead to Tennessee's football season on the wide receiver depth? Or do we think, like, Velus Jones and Peyton just get replaced by more of Jalen Hyatt and maybe Brew McCoy from USC if they can get him into school? Because I think they feel good about Brew McCoy coming to Tennessee from USC.
You think he'd play wide receiver or tight end, though?
Either way, be a pass catcher. I mean, like, Tennessee needs pass catchers. I mean, I don't know what he'll be playing.
You think Tennessee does end up with Brew McCoy?
I saw some VolQuest guys, you know, I think it was Austin Price, you know, doing his wink when talking about it. You know, so not committing to it. But people think that Brew McCoy is coming here if Tennessee can get him cleared.
Okay.
There's some legal stuff there, apparently. I don't know what the hell the legal stuff is, but I know he had, like, a domestic situation at USC. I don't know if
How is he even going to be immediately eligible? He's transferred, like, 7 times in 1 year.
I don't know how it counted because he went from what? He went from USC to Texas, then back to USC. Is that how it went?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if.
Or was it Texas to USC back to Texas? No, I think
he was at USC.
Right,
so.
But I'm not worried about the depth more so. I guess I'm worried about the top end. You know, I don't feel super confident in any of the receivers to be some super formidable wide receiver too. But I do think that you have like 6 to 7 guys that are in that wide receiver 3 range.
Now, like, I think the Hendon Hooker Heisman talk, just for the record, is ridiculous.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say like, oh yeah, he's gonna finish with any votes or even, you know, invited.
I just wanted to make sure I put that out because, you know, every now and then you might have somebody in the car listening and they're like, oh my god, these guys are talking about him winning the Heisman. I just want to go out on the record. I think that's ridiculous. I'm more so talking about Hendon's production. He was 31 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 2,900 yards, which is only 37th best in the country. Of course, we know that he didn't start the entire season. Bryce Young, comparison's sake, 4,800 yards, 47 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Like, if I was asking you, Charlie, how many yards you think Hendon Hooker has in 2022, you would say what?
Around You said Bryce Young had 4,300?
4,800. 4,872. Now, of course, he had two extra games.
I think
one extra game, I guess.
I think Hendon Hooker can be at like 4,400.
4,400 by starting the full season, at least getting 13 games from a bowl game?
Yeah, I mean, at least that, okay. Honestly. And
Cam?
I'd say he gets the 4,000 for sure. I would lean that way.
Go ahead, Charlie. Sorry.
I was just saying, I agree with you that I don't think he's going to win the Heisman. But I want to make that clear,
yeah.
Even though I'm betting on him.
Same.
I do think that he does, or that he has the best value of any player in the country if you're looking for value on your Heisman bets.
Okay.
I don't disagree with that at all either, because, like I said, like this offense, and you kind of talk about the receivers, this kind of offense, you don't really – obviously, like a dynamic stud receiver would take this like offense to the next level, but you don't necessarily need that to be super productive in this offense. Just as you have guys that can catch the ball, like you don't have to do anything crazy. You should be fine, and he's gonna have the opportunity for production. He's gonna have the opportunity for big time wins. Like there's a path, but obviously, I don't think he's.
So you said 4,000 yards. Charlie said 4,400 yards. In Charlie's number, it comes out to basically 340 yards per game. Cam, in yours, it comes out to 307 yards per game.
Yeah.
How many times do you think Hendon Hooker threw for over 300 yards this year?
Four or five?
Once in the regular season.
Really?
Okay.
Against Kentucky. Did in the bowl game as well, so you know, you count that one too. But kind of surprising to me that those were the only two games he got over 300 yards.
Very
well, his run. I think we do like to use his running ability, and I think everybody kind of thought when you see the style of offense, you think it's super pass happy, but Heupel does like running the football.
Sure, he added 620 yards on the ground.
Mm-hmm. And you
season
do,
high I mean, against Ole Miss with 23 carries for 108 yards.
So I think that's a factor too, because like I'm not sure where Bryce Young was on rushing numbers, but I don't think he would have been close to that.
You also had games with Hendon Hooker with like Tennessee Tech and Missouri and South Carolina and South Alabama and Vanderbilt, where he had an insane first half and then wasn't asked to throw the ball.
No, I understand, but that stuff matters when you're projecting stats. Yeah. By the way, Cam, apparently Bryce Young ended up with exactly 0 yards.
Rushing?
81 carries for 0 yards.
Yeah, now, but course, I know he didn't run much.
Now,
so.
Of course, sacks take away from that, yeah. But yeah,
wow.
0 yards.
Okay, I wouldn't have thought that. I thought he would at least been 100, 200 maybe.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, he's kind of athletic.
Yeah, he is, so... Okay, wow, okay, but yeah.
Now, you're right, Charlie, against some of the teams you were coasting in the second half, that is 100% accurate.
But, yeah.
I didn't realize he had 20 carries against South Carolina.
Yeah, we were running that boy. We were running that man.
He had two straight games with over 20 carries. I didn't realize he had 19 carries against Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know sacks get counted into that, but still.
Yeah.
Do we think there's going to be that much of an explosion? Where you look and like again, he goes from a guy that had 300 yards twice all year to being able to average that for a season. That seems extreme.
If the team improves, you should see. I would think you should see a slight jump at least.
Sure, sure.
If the team has improved the way you think it should, but yeah,
because, I mean, just going by 12 games.
I would probably have said 275. If you would have asked me, like, a yard per game number, the average, I probably would have said, like, 275.
I'm throwing out the Bowling Green game, obviously, because he played, just mop-up duty, one pass for 5 yards. I am counting the Pittsburgh game, even though he didn't come in until the second quarter. But, I mean, that's long enough, I guess.
Yeah,
so, yeah. So, 2,945 yards. That comes out to basically 245 yards per game.
Okay.
I would like to know his yards per half number. I feel like...
If you extrapolate all the way out for a full season of 13 games, it comes out to 3,200 yards. So, I mean...
Okay.
If...
Another.
Next year, I guess, kind of depends on are there going to be 4 to 5 games where you take the foot off the pedal in the second half?
Sure.
Which, again, like you mentioned, that's part of it. Bryce Young, similar predicament.
Yeah, he had some games like that himself. And I'm not... Again, I don't want to compare Hendon Hooker to Bryce Young. I'm just... If you're just looking at the odds and really just projecting Hendon Hooker's success, because seems weird to say after a game where he throws for 378 yards and 5 touchdowns and no interceptions, but like as much questions as I have about my professional quarterback Ryan Tannehill, I do still have a couple questions about my college quarterback Hendon Hooker as well. I think there were times when he couldn't step up and make the throws that you had to have him.
No, he missed a few for sure. Like, yeah, he did. And you hope with another year in the system and, you know, some of these receivers, a full offseason stuff of being the starter. I think that's another thing that can benefit him is, you know, last year, obviously, we had a quarterback battle. So he wasn't always getting first team reps. I think he goes in this year as, you know, first team guy for the full offseason. And I think that benefits getting your, you know, rapport with your receivers and stuff going a little bit. And maybe you start hitting a few more of those, you know, deep balls or just passes in general, just off the chemistry aspect. But, yeah, do you think people would look more at the yards numbers, or do you think it would just be like if the touchdowns and
– I mean, the touchdowns were there. 31-3 yeah. is really, you know, obviously an elite
yep.
touchdown-to-interception ratio. Like, you know, Hendon Hooker was really good at protecting the football.
Yep.
You know, and two of his interceptions came against Georgia and Alabama. So, like, you know, the two best teams mm-hmm. in the country. The other one was a very, very bad pass against Pittsburgh. You know, I'm sure he wishes he could have back
yeah,
in his
absolutely.
You know, first game duty of the season. So, I mean, like, that's mm-hmm. a little bit understandable. But, like, no, he was elite at taking care of the football.
Like, if he went next year and just hypothetically, obviously, but, like, if he went next year, you have a really good year and he puts up, like, 3,200 yards and, like, 37 touchdowns and it adds, like, 6 to 8 on the ground.
Sure.
And maybe like another 600 rushing yards. Do you just think the numbers look good enough? It, you know, you.
I mean, I think in that case, again, if we're talking just about like even him being on the radar, I mean, I think mm-hmm. if Tennessee wins 10 games.
Yeah.
And he has those numbers, then he will be in consideration. Sure.
Yeah.
Now, assuming okay. that, you know, someone else doesn't go super Saiyan and
yeah,
goes crazy.
Absolutely. Like, he would have needed a year like this past year where it just kind of seemed like nobody wanted to take it almost.
Right.
Now,
that might happen.
Yeah.
That might happen again.
Like I think Shroud's going to be one of those guys that's obviously going to put up big numbers.
It is a little bit of a curse though to have him and, you know, Bryce Young both up mm-hmm. there like going to be at the top, because
yeah, the top guys
very rarely do the top guys make it through. It's always kind of the surprising guy that comes out of yep. nowhere. But again, no, I don't. You know, 31 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That's obviously a lead. If he can do anything close to that next
yeah,
year,
replicate that. Yeah.
Tennessee wins more games and he takes care of the football and. You know, adds, like you said, 500 or 600 yards on the ground, then, you know, it's going to put him in a good position.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if you have any concerns, because Tennessee is losing, you know, a lot of his.
Yeah, they are.
A lot of his production from last year with, you know.
They are.
Peyton and Velas and even Tyon Evans in the backfield. Like, you know, Caden Mays is going to be gone. So yeah. Do we anticipate that those numbers are going to get better or worse? Yards wise, better, I think, but
yeah,
you know.
I would hope the team still improves as a whole, which I think should help the number. And also, I would say, like, even losing some receivers, the style of offense, it's kind of the same way with the quarterback, how it kind of amplifies the quarterback, makes them look, you know, more talented than they probably actually are. I think it does the same with receivers to
sure.
the same extent. So,
sure.
I mean, it's not like Velas or Javonte were incredible or super hard to replace. Velas harder to replace than Javonte, but Javonte to me.
I think those guys
is no better than, you know, a Walker Merrill or Jalen Hyatt or
Keaton. I disagree there. See, I thought there was a huge drop off, especially was it the Georgia game where Peyton got hurt?
Yeah.
I thought when you had to go to Keaton, like there was a huge drop off.
I guess I'm
Keaton
saying like next year. Like those
if they improve, sure. Like Hyatt replicate what Peyton did? Sure, of course. Like I guess this time last year I was over the moon about Jalen Hyatt. And then, you know, he didn't take the steps you thought he was going to have. But could you see an explosion for him in his junior year? Yes, of course.
I think Walker Merrill's the most likely candidate to take a big jump next year.
Okay.
Or one of the two Jimmies.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I just never really thought that highly of Javonte Peyton. I had appreciated him. You know, I thought he did a good enough job doing what he was asked to do. But I don't see him as anything more than an average SEC wide receiver.
Yeah, I think Hyatt will kind of step into his role a little bit. And we'll see. You know, obviously we hope the production is similar, if not obviously better.
Maybe one of the Jimmies is the new Velas.
Yeah, I think the quick, shifty guy. Yeah, I think it's going to basically be like that. You'll slide them in and see.
They like the Jimmies.
If they can replicate it, you know.
I don't know. We didn't see.
We didn't see them much,
especially after like the Pittsburgh game, right?
They spoke highly. Like they said that, you know, they think that these are guys that just will be important for us next year, that are big for us next year, and
it's nice when they say that. I just again like
it's like, hey, we want you to get better for next year.
There was no reason for them to play a lot last year. I don't remember
one Jimmy Callaway moment after the Pittsburgh game. And as a matter of fact, he
there's one I hope that you forgot.
As a matter of fact, he played.
I tried to.
Was he the one who dropped the pass against Florida?
Yeah.
Was he?
Jimmy Callaway.
Was he the one who dropped the pass against Florida?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was pretty much the last you saw of him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he didn't. He had one catch for 3 yards against Florida, and you didn't see him again. Like, he didn't register.
But you didn't really see. I mean, you were seeing Walker Merrill play and be successful. You were seeing, you know, some other guys play, and I think that's when they. Florida was pretty much when they decided on their receiver rotation fully, and I just think said we're going to stick with these guys.
Sure, but I'm just saying, like, I have questions. If you're telling me like they like them, they could have played, especially, you know, in Georgia game whenever Peyton goes out.
Yeah.
Ah, man, I forgot about that pass. Good job, Jimmy.
I think you're going to get something out of one of the two Jimmies.
I hope so. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of your family, and when he or she is ill,
go ahead, Charlie.
You've got what I need.
Gotta hit the, baby.
Oh, baby, you.
NFL playoffs this weekend. My bookie wants you to keep the excitement alive with their double deposit bonus. You can get your initial deposit matched up to $1,000. That's like playing every game with a home field advantage, which I guess this weekend wasn't going to be very good to have a home field advantage. Shout out to the Titans for breaking my heart. Just sign up. Use the promo code Knoxville and get your funds credited to your account instantly so you can start placing your bets with my bookie. The NFL full postseason in full swing. There's no shortage of games to choose from. You got NBA and college basketball tonight. And everyone knows that the playoffs equal points. Hammer the overs. Take some player props. Take the over. Big-time players. Make big-time plays in big-time games. MyBookie is also home to exclusive contests that can be used to maximize your winnings and make 2022 your best year yet. Don't miss out. Double your first deposit up to $1,000 by using promo code Knoxville. Place your bets and get ready for the intensity of playoff action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Are we close to college football? Because it feels like we're so far away. Like, are we close to getting in mode? Like, people, you know, I went on a podcast with SEC Mike. He wanted to talk to me, and I wanted to be like, Mike, I love you, buddy, but I don't want to talk about Tennessee football right now. But I went because I'm a nice guy. Are you, like, focused right now on, like, these transfers or recruits? Because it feels like we're kind of just in a holding pattern until the spring, right? I mean, isn't that kind of the thought process with Tennessee's supposed scholarship reduction not winning out or not running out until April? And that's when things kind of open up in the transfer portal for us. Like, are you just kind of waiting, or are you still, you know, fully into this right now, Charlie?
I'm not really anywhere close to fully into it just because of, like you said, the scholarship reductions. It's not exciting. We're not overly active in the portal because apparently we can't be. So, you know, I keep an eye on it. I hope that when I see guys hit the portal, you know, Tennessee is doing the best they can. But my focus is just on other sports that are currently being played, and I'll check in with football in the spring.
Baseball getting close.
Like 27 days, 26, something along those lines.
Even less than that, yeah. Basketball tonight. Okay. I did see that some NIL merch finally has touched down.
You can go get yourself a Hendon Hooker or a Cedric Tillman player shirt.
Hendo Cinco and a Cedric Tillman Cedric Tillman shirt.
They have, like, jersey shirts. They have, like, caricatures.
Seen some for the baseball people.
Drew Gilbert and Evan Russell.
My boy Hendo Hooker. Get him a little money. Go get him a shirt.
Yeah, they got Evan Russell and Drew Gilbert for baseball, and then Brandon Huntley Hatfield and Kennedy Chandler. I'm sure that Brandon Huntley Hatfield shirt flying off the shelves right now.
So is that something that's evolved, or is Tennessee, I guess, doing this? Because, like, I thought at the beginning, like, they had said, you know, that you couldn't use the Tennessee logo on it. So I guess if Tennessee is involved with it, like, you know.
Yeah.
The Vol shop is.
Yeah, I think you had to be. I think it had to be associated with the university. Because, you couldn't. Like, he couldn't go out and just do his own Tennessee shirt with just a different company or something.
Sure.
But, yeah. Which, so, I mean, I guess that's just how licensing works.
So the university's going to get their cut, too.
Yep.
Yeah, because I know Huntley Hatfield and Kennedy Chandler's shirts were through Alumni Hall. So I guess that also goes through the university.
So Is it weird to anyone else that, like, for most of these shirts, we're just using, like cartoon characters type of thing? Is that weird, or is that just
that's
kind of
like
the way
something
it is now?
That the Vol Shop has been doing recently?
I feel like a lot of places do
and a
it,
lot
I
of
mean,
other places, like Breaking Tea, they do a lot with. Yeah. I don't really like the cartoons. Like, I don't want a cartoon picture of a player for the most part, but I do like, you know, like the player shirts that just look like a jersey with, but you know, t-shirts. I think those are cool. I might buy one.
Who are you gonna buy?
Tillman.
Big said. I do like the 5 plus 4 equals 6 T.
5 plus 4.
Yeah, with the picture of Hooker and Tillman there equals 6.
That
you know,
is
touchdown.
That's clever.
That's pretty good. That's
that
pretty
one's
good.
Pretty good. I do like that one.
I think I scrolled past that.
So, you know, there have been some updates at least. Like, there are a couple of things dropping. You know, these just came out, I guess, so.
That's how we get back in the NIL game, John.
We're back, baby.
Yeah, sure, you can get $50,000 to be an offensive lineman at Texas, but here at Tennessee,
now, don't you
we
be
can
negative
give you
now.
A player shirt.
You're supposed to be the positive guy. I mean, have you seen anybody on campus walking around with these yet? I know you don't go to school anymore, but like.
I haven't stepped foot on campus.
You work
outside
on the strip.
Of like,
you work on the strip. Like, that's campus adjacent. Like, I mean, I imagine most of your clientele is college kids, no?
Yeah, but they're not the kind of college kids that care about sports.
Okay, fair enough. I just haven't seen any.
Wine.
I just haven't seen any of the chef Chandler shirts out in the wild yet. Like, I don't know if like those are a good seller.
I haven't
like,
seen those anywhere.
I just don't know if people are buying them. I mean, maybe they're intended for kids. Do we know what percentage these guys are getting from these anyways? Like $10 per shirt. Like,
it.
do we know?
I haven't seen any numbers. I don't know. I doubt it's anything spectacular.
I would say it's probably $10 a shirt.
Probably on par with whatever NFL players get
for their
merch.
How many shirts
go
for, like, 25
merch?
Or so?
All these shirts are listed for $28. All of them, the jersey shirts as well.
Well, I mean,
jerseys.
How much is profit, though? Like, the
that's
profit
I mean.
From a $28 shirt is probably what, like,
it's a lot. It doesn't
20 bucks?
I'd say $22 probably with most of the quality they use at these, like, the Vol shops and stuff. I mean, they probably got good deals too, and good vendors.
They're mass, buying it too and stuff like that. So
I would imagine they're, you know, making
like $20 a shirt.
Yeah,
I bet he would probably get like eight bucks.
Yeah. Which I mean, is progress. It'd be nice. I don't know how much these are going to sell.
Maybe
like,
sell 1,000.
I do think honestly, the baseball players are probably going to make more money like selling their jerseys than like the football players will make selling theirs. Like for now, at least, like maybe the baseball team like lost their chance last year when everything was like really hot and you couldn't really find Tennessee baseball merchandise. I mean, leading up to like the home games, like it was really tough to find a jersey.
I think people are going to jump back on it though, just because of how exciting it was last year.
I feel like baseball, I would say those guys are going to make some pretty decent money, and it does feel like, I don't know, the stars of the baseball team almost seems more popular than the stars of the football team. Really, I mean,
a little bit, yeah.
A little bit more accessible.
I think they gave people a little bit more joy.
More joy, yeah.
and
able to show a little more personality. Like Drew Gilbert would have made a lot of money off of his, you know, bat flip.
Drew Gilbert has made a decent amount of money off the bat flip.
Okay.
The day that
as he deserves.
The day that NIL got announced, he did strike a deal with Breaking Tee.
I just didn't see how much money he made off that.
So I don't know. I mean, I know that it was on their most popular sellers page at one point. So I guess a lot of people bought it. Because it was on their top five shirts of the day for like a week or two. So I guess he maybe made some money off of that, but he couldn't use Tennessee, just his likeness there and Tennessee colors, I think. I wish they would sell actual, like I would buy actual baseball jersey maybe with, I don't know.
That's what I was wondering, because I mean, I have like just the generic Tennessee baseball jersey with no number on the back, and you know, it's not player dependent, so I mean, like, I kind of like the look of that one rather than buying someone else's. Last year, what I've gotten caught up in wanting to make sure the players got a little piece of the pie, maybe, I guess.
That's like the only reason I would buy a player jersey.
Yeah,
I really want a kid's name on my.
That is like the weird thing. I feel like.
Would much rather just Venmo him $10.
Honestly.
Thanks for the memories.
Same.
It's gotten weirder for me to wear jerseys the older I get of younger players.
Yeah. Like I don't even buy
but
like,
I am a huge I am a huge jersey guy.
I'm not really I really just have like I have a couple player like current players, but that's more of just like of gifts. But like the ones I've bought for myself are always of players that like just like old school.
Yeah,
stuff.
I prefer older players now. Like, I got a Jeffrey Simmons jersey for Christmas, and I was like, I love Jeffrey Simmons. And part of me was like, I've been at a bar in Starkville when he's been like four seats over, and we're 2 years apart.
It does start playing with your mind a little bit.
Weird,
yeah. I don't think.
To me, that's why I say, like, I think. Maybe not, but like,
I think it's the world that makes me insecure.
I was gonna say, me and my friend group is, you know, maybe it's just the fact that I haven't been very good, but like, I do find myself just caring less about college sports kind of for that same reason as well.
Same, I think, yeah.
But again, maybe it's just because we haven't been as
good. Maybe you're just lame.
Maybe. That's also a very good possibility, Charlie. It's also a very good possibility. Did feel a lot for the Ole Miss game, though. Then we lost.
Where'd you get more of that?
Then I went to the...
We're going to feel alive
more. Bowl game, and we lost.
It doesn't count.
It counted.
No,
it counted.
John, I think you forgot that I declared it didn't count.
Yeah, I think you forgot that we went from basically a pick'em to 7-point favorites and still lost the game, so anyone who'd bet on them from a pick'em to 7 points still lost their money, Charlie. Still lost your money.
Some people in here might have lost the biggest bet they've ever placed in their entire life.
Did it count? Hypothetically?
Actually, I asked the sportsbook on Twitter. I DM'd them, and I was like, can I at least have my money back? And they gave me a fourth of my money back in free bets.
Well, that's nice of you, Charlie. Or nice of them.
Hey, okay.
Did you say please?
Yeah, I did.
Did you tell them you're going to jump off a building? Would they be obligated to give it back if you're like, hey, I'm really sad.
That's a good question.
Give me the number of the hotline, but also, can you give me like $20 back at least, 30, so I can like have some money to eat?
Please, sir.
Please. For the love of God. So, like, I mean, is this NIL stuff that we've just been talking about with the Vol Shop and the Alumni Hall partnerships, like, does that fall under the umbrella of the Spire Sports, or is that just something completely different? Because I'd imagine,
good question.
I would imagine UT doesn't need to.
I don't think I understand Spire Sports.
I don't think anyone does yet. I haven't seen them do anything yet. Now, I'm not saying they're not doing anything. I'm just saying I haven't seen them do anything yet, other than like, I mean, are they just, they set up a couple of like jersey signings and stuff, like a couple of meet and greets. Seems like that's kind of been the only thing. I don't know.
Yeah,
I've seen meet and greets at like local establishments and stuff, but
yeah, like the autograph signings, like all that sounds good. Like, I don't know. But I checked their website. I mean, there's not a lot of.
It's just a lot of hoopla with a whole lot of.
It's just a lot of talk about what they're going to do.
Start doing it,
And maybe they will. And you know, that's fine. It's just. You know, I want to see it and need to see it, and Tennessee's going to need it to grow. I get all that. I don't want to bury them or talk bad about them before they've had a chance. But, I mean, like, it's – maybe this all comes back to the NCAA just kind of not giving – not, like, having a, like, quick – or having too quick of a turnaround. But, I mean, like, when I'm looking at, like, the brands they work with, on their website, it's pretty much just all like local bars.
It's a great start.
I
mean,
I could do the same thing. Like, just do that here, like Barley's and then Cameo. Like, it's not really partnering with Cameo. Like, I can start a Cameo.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why are you getting a cut of my Cameo money? Like, that's what I'd be asking Spire Sports if I was a player. Like, exactly. I could do a Cameo myself.
I think that, like, hopefully it helps these kids, but it seems like one of those things where it's like, hey, oh, you need help doing this. No, we got you. We'll take care of it for a price. And
yeah,
it's like you could really just go on. If you put in any effort to look into it your own way, I think you could do the same thing.
Now, maybe not. Like, maybe like the bigger deals, I think, are going to be tougher, obviously. But, like, you know.
Yeah, the bigger deals, you may need somebody to kind of help you out a little bit more. But, like, I was actually reading the article the other day where it was talking about the NIL stuff was averaging, like, $51 per athlete or something. Like, if you average it out across the board or something.
And I would imagine what it would look like if you take – or just imagine what it would look like, I guess, if you take the – outliers out, like the Bryce Young's out. Like, I mean,
exactly.
Can we just put Danny White and the Spire people and like Don D. Plowman and put them all on a plane and send them on a field trip to one of the Texas schools so they can learn how to cheat better?
Yeah,
it's not even cheating now, it's legal. It's not even cheating. Well, you have to cheat.
Half cheat.
I was kind of like reading too, and like one of the guys was reading about was like Cal's quarterback out there was basically talking about how I don't really doing it through the universities. Like I've had to rely a lot on like families and friends to help me do the negotiations and find these deals.
Sure,
rather
sure.
than so, you I mean, know, stuff like that. So
that is the benefit of the Spire Sports Group, I would imagine.
Yep. The average. Let me see.
To like have somebody there, like you know, helping you out, but. You know, then you get into where their money comes from, and you know, just again for some of these contracts, is it worth it? I don't know. You got a particular coolest jersey you own, Charlie? Tweeter wanted to know.
Coolest jersey I own?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea what the coolest jersey I own is, honestly. Maybe a David Stewart practice jersey. That's not cool to other people. It's cool to me because I love offensive linemen.
Cam?
Coolest jersey I own? I have a Deion Sanders throwback Falcons, and then I have a throwback Spud Webb. I think the Spud Webb one's not my favorite. I don't own a lot of jerseys, actually.
Yeah, I don't either. I have a Reggie White Eagles jersey. I got a McNair Oilers jersey. I don't know if I still have my Pac-Man Titans jersey and then a Trae Young jersey. That's all I got.
Really. I probably have like 60
yeah, you got a
plus
lot.
Jerseys.
Yeah.
I like
but
to get
– But none of them are cool, I guess.
I like to get random jerseys. Like, I don't like the Stars as much as I like to get other guys. I like to get offensive linemen.
Yeah. Sure, that gets people talking when you go out in the bars.
It does. They love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
See that guy in the Nate Davis jersey?
Yeah.
He's a cool guy.
Do you know if the Tennessee guys are connected on this, the INFLCR? I don't know if you know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
It's supposedly a brand building platform for the NIL stuff, and apparently there's an app.
Okay, yeah.
That, like, a lot of schools have, like, encouraged their kids to get on to help them find these deals, but.
We should set up our own app that's just Tinder. Ooh. Where the players have their profiles and businesses, and you can swipe on each other.
I think that's kind of what Spire was trying to do, I thought, but maybe I'm wrong. Let's just go to break. It's hour two coming to an end. Hour three is coming at you. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Winnings.